So my racing outlook is like, yeah, there'll be lots of virtual events. There'll be lots of small events that don't require insurance coverage. And we will probably make faces at them if they have corralled starts, like the one, if you read my Nuzzle newsletter, there was one in England this week that had people like just falling over, like, what in the world are you doing right now? So we're going to see a lot of that with people questioning if this is a good idea or not throughout 2021 and 2022. 2023 will be the sign that the rest of the world is comfortable with us enough to underwrite the risk of us having events.
Hi, I'm Coach MK, founder of the Fitness Protection Program. I'm a run coach, not a life coach. We're never really talking about the running. Running is the tool. It's the conduit we use to examine the world we live in, as well as its impact on our own lives and the lives of the people around us. How we react to certain people and to certain stories tells us a lot about how we view ourselves. I'm committed to the thoughtful, intentional exploration of the importance of running so that no one discounts their own badassery, ever. Final note, this podcast is geared towards every runner who won't lose their home, livelihood, or health insurance if they show up to the corral with a hangover. Not that I'm encouraging you to do that, just saying. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the Fitness Protection Podcast.
Happy Sunday night. I sure do hope that your new year is off to a better start than mine after having the terrible eyelash glue disaster from 2 days ago, which I woke up on the first day of 2021 with my eyelids swollen completely shut and had to go have, it turns out they'd made a mistake with the glue. I had a new person doing eyelash extensions and they used way too much glue that got way too near my lash line. And so after 2 days later, after multiple attempts of getting rid of all that, it's finally gone and I can see, which is terrific. Only for me to then turn around and think I'm just going to treat myself to this deep hair conditioner, which is an oil. And then I couldn't wash it out. I was washing and washing. It took like 5 tries, still had it all up in there. And I'm like, oh my God. So apologies for being late, but I was trying to get all that out of my hair because we are 3 days now into 2021 and I still can't win for losing. Yeah, but you can because you are coached and loved and winning at life. This is my favorite part of the week, where I answer all the questions and the hearts and the minds of my runners after helping them count up the weekly wins. Excuse me while I pull that up. I just went ahead and got started, and I think I have it right here. Thank you, by the way, to Aaron Harkness, who pulls this together for me every single week without fail. I appreciate it more than you could possibly understand, especially on days like today when I would not have been able to pull all this together for love or money. Here we go. Starting off with the weekly wins, Char Gore woke up to pouring rain, but decided she wasn't going to let that stop her from getting her run in. She managed 3 miles with her pup in the rain. That's a win. Well done. I see rain these days and I'm like, it's cold. My couch is warm. So way to go on getting yourself out the door. She has 2 wins this week, actually. She also had her 3-month post-cancer treatment appointment and all signs point to it being completely gone. Yay! Congratulations, Char. That is a really big deal. She's able to start running again in October and said she can feel the strength coming back. I even love tackling hills because it is a tangible sign that I am stronger in 2021. I'm excited to be a beast. We are excited to watch you go into beast mode, Char. This is exciting. Please keep us posted week by week. I love hearing stories like this. Over in Maintain, Brenda Haskell had some great cross-country skiing lately. Ooh. She said she hit 33 miles of skiing this week. Oh my God, for her staycation holiday. It was crazy as well as fun. She'll be back to running Monday through Friday due to work and skiing on the weekend. Heart rate training with Fitness Protection all year sure made my ski season a lot better and I adapted to it so fast. I'm skiing uphill like a beast right now. 2 people in beast mode. I love it. I am not in beast mode. I am in blister mode after a 7-mile run, my longest in a while, happened today. I felt really good and just kept going despite the blisters forming on my feet from not having quite enough hip strength. We're going to fix that soon. With Slow Burn. Don't forget, if you have not yet signed up for Slow Burn, you can still do that. We're going to start on January the 18th. Amy Wilson got creative and added studs to an old pair of running shoes for her winter running. Ooh, Amy's New Hampshire, Maine. Maine. I want to think Maine because I know that's where your favorite race is. But it might actually be New Hampshire. She's somewhere cold with lots of ice, so she needs those spikes. She was a beast as well and ran 8.7 miles in the snow. Three people in beast mode. I love it. That's amazing. Four, because Trisha Thorne ran 600 miles in 2020. That is a lot. That's a lot of miles. That's from here to Chicago, probably, maybe further. Wow. Well done, everybody. That's fantastic. That's, I mean, Dan winning his 10K last week to 600 miles and all these beasts this week. I love days like this where we really get to celebrate. So congratulations to everyone who had wins this week and celebrated them in the Facebook page. Don't forget to share them so we can shout you out on the podcast. Now, here we go with the questions. Going to be a shorter night. We didn't have that many questions, but I'll talk a little bit at the end and remind you guys of a piece that I wrote a couple of years ago. We're going to talk about the blisters on my feet that might be showing up on yours. Hi, Coach. I'm struggling to get in a cold weather running groove. I feel that. I find myself way over layering, trying to stay comfortable when I set out and then end up annoyed with all the clothes I'm discarding 10 minutes in when I get overly warm. If I only wear what I'm happy in 10 minutes in, I find that I can't seem to get warmed up and am miserable the whole run. Any suggestions for clothing and warmth management? Layers to me are always the key. I'm just like you. I can be a cold weather weenie. If I'm not happy with it by the time my warm-up has ended, which is why for me it's that number 22 minutes is so key. 22 minutes in, if I haven't found a groove, I will give myself permission to cut it and say, we're going to try this some other day, maybe tomorrow, maybe later in the day. I don't force myself to be like, I will try again tonight, but rather I give myself permission to say, this isn't working and that's okay. And I would advise all of you to do the same. For me, that magic number is 22 minutes. For you, that magic number might be 16. And don't stress out about like the exactness of getting the right number. It's generally speaking, if you don't have one or don't know, let's make that number 10. 10 minutes into a workout, if you're just not feeling it and you're no happier and you can't think of what you would need to do to make this better, then go ahead and cut it and it's going to be just fine. When it comes to cold weather running for me, the big deal is being wet, which I can't stand, and my extremities. So what I do, if my hands are cold, everything's cold. If my toes are cold and wet, everything is unhappy. So for me, I have a pair of waterproof shoes that I wear in the winter that I've heard people say that you can take tape, like waterproof tape and like duct tape your spring shoes. That for me has never worked because then it makes my shoes too stiff and I don't like that very much. But I got really, really lucky. I got a pair of waterproof Sauconys that when the snow is pretty deep, it's kind of like running in very cozy snow boots. And I like that a lot. I also have a pair of waterproof trail shoes that are pretty flexible that were actually made for spring trail running with the assumption you'd be in the mud. And for what we have here in Denver, which we don't have inches and inches of snow that often. And when we do, it melts a couple days later. So I go running in the spring trail shoes on days like today, because anything that's waterproof is going to keep heat in. It's going to keep water out. It's going to keep heat in. So my toes feel just fine. And with my toes feeling fine, everything else is going to be happy. I also carry an extra warm pair of gloves because I can take those on and off. And for me, that'll adjust everything else. Now, when it comes to regulating your body temperature, your arms don't get as cold as you might expect. So on a day that is like in the 40s and cloudy, sun adds a whole nother layer to it. If it's cloudy, it's going to feel colder. If it's sunny, it's going to feel about 10 degrees warmer. So if it's 40 and cloudy, it's going to feel like it's in the 30s. So then in that case, I would wear a longer knit shirt, vest, the heavy gloves, an ear muff that I could take off, and my waterproof shoes. So that's a good place to start. And then if that is not enough, give yourself to the end of the warm-up to run by your house and get a light jacket, maybe a waterproof jacket, and throw it on over that. I have a Saucony razor jacket that I've had for 5 or 6 years that I really like. It's waterproof, which again will keep the water out and keep the heat in. So it doesn't really matter what I'm wearing underneath it. I shut the vents in the armpits and the back, and it'll keep me nice and warm. And once I get a little overheated, I unzip the vents, let it all air out, and then I feel a whole lot better. So that's kind of how I would approach it and where I would start. Because if your core is warm and your extremities are warm, your arms and legs are generally going to be fine. It's one of the reasons why I see people running in shorts. Below 30, people in shorts are, I don't understand them. But between 30 and above, I kind of get it. Because again, your legs and your arms don't need that much protection, maybe just like a mild shield, which is why you can get away with heavy gloves, a vest, and a relatively light shirt. So I will try to post some photos on the blog of what I pull together and what those materials look like for some of my cold weather runs. If that would be helpful, let me know. In Maintain, I got two questions here. My social media feeds are filled with advertisements for these post-workout leg compression devices. Any thoughts? Here's an example. Yeah, I've seen a lot of these. I'll go ahead and click on the link and we'll paste it in the comment section. And these are all kind of like, everyone has been looking to create a more affordable version of Normatec. The Normatec boots are really amazing if you can afford them, but, and they're like $1,500. So this is not a small purchase. And, you know, are they great? Sure. Are they worth $1,500? Yes, but so is a Prada handbag, but not everyone can afford a Prada handbag. And I would hardly define that as a necessity. So up until now, I would have been very hesitant for these devices because a lot of them are cheaply made. You tell yourself, oh, it's just as good, but it's nowhere near as good, actually. And it'll fall apart after a couple of uses. So if you're going to spend $500, make sure that $500 is invested and not wasted on something that actually costs $1,500. Does that make sense? It's something that costs $1,500, you're not going to be able to create for $500 and have it be just the same. So if you can get it, great, but I would probably not spend money on that. You know what I'd spend it on? If you have a little money to burn or really want to buy something, I have hated every single thing I've ever purchased off of Facebook advertisement. I'll just say that. And I bought a lot of things. And it's something I now think twice about doing because it's such an easy way to get a good picture in front of someone. And I think people are kind of leaning on to that now. So there's that. I've lost a little bit of money there and I'm not real proud of it. But when we do our Zoom meeting this coming Friday, and if you haven't signed up for it yet, I say go ahead and get in there. We're going to talk about some of our favorite things. I've asked everyone to bring one of their favorite things this year. And I'm going to be bringing my Theragun. This is something I struggled over. It was the Elite version versus the Mini version. I read all the, and I've been thinking about this for a while because I read the book Ready to Run or Good to Go, which is about the recovery book, the first really deep dive into the science of recovery. And the truth of the matter is, like, all this stuff is great. Is it marginally better? I don't know. But I don't need scientific study to tell me that sitting by myself in a steam room for 30 minutes with no phone and no pressure is good for my mental and therefore my physiological health, right? I don't need science to know that that makes sense. Does it improve your performance? Possibly. But the question really comes down to, is that accessible to you? Yes or no? And if no, do you need to worry about it? Probably not. Does that make sense? If you have a little extra and you're not sure where to put it, I would put it in a Theragun. I was not sold on percussion anything. I'm like, uh-huh. Don't feel like a massage. Nice. Great. Because I've never liked any of those personal at-home massagers I've ever purchased until I got the Theragun. And now my husband and I, because we got it for $100 off plus an additional $100 off because he's a veteran. So if you have an ID.me account, you can get a 20% discount on all things Theragun. And we have been using it on ourselves and each other. I had more mobility in my neck than I've had in over a decade. Like, this is about as far as I could look in the past. And now I've got like a full two inches of motion on each side. And that's kind of crazy to me. My back feels better. My shoulder doesn't click anymore. And this is the one that I dislocated several years ago. If you guys remember, right after Violet was born, almost 3 years ago, she'll be three in 2 weeks. Ah! So used to be when I would roll the shoulder, you could hear the grinding and the clicking basically through on the mic. And now I can't even feel it. It's smooth as butter because we've been working on it every day. So if you were going to buy anything, I'd say buy the Theragun Elite. That's how I feel about that. Those compression boots, sure, they're great if you can afford it, but just go for the real thing. Get the Normatec. I don't know if any of these lower cost devices are as high quality. And the reason I went with Theragun when there are cheaper ones out there is because everyone and their mother will tell you that all the cheaper imitations are garbage. If you're going to spend $150, you might as well spend the full $250 and get the thing you actually want, the thing that's going to work. Saving $100, you haven't saved $100, you've thrown $250 away. And I'm like, that is a really important thing to think about. So here's that. I would rather you didn't throw $500 away on a $1,500, trying to save $1,000 on a $1,500 item. So TLDR, Theragun. Oh my God. I'm going to show you, and Mr. MK and I are going to talk about that in Zoom on Friday. So what's your take on the racing outlook for 2021? Do you think it makes sense to start building for an early fall marathon? So we have this conversation with a lot of words in the meeting on Friday. So I used to work in reinsurance. Reinsurance is, we insure insurance companies. So if we don't agree to something, an insurance company can't insure it. All reinsurance companies are based in Europe. Europe does not like the way we've handled the pandemic very much. So they are not reinsuring group events. What that means is in 2021, you can pretty much expect there, you know, no concerts, no sporting events, Ticketmaster screwed, and no large races that would require event insurance. So because reinsurance capacity for anything in the United States is really limited, almost non-existent, you can't get event insurance to have an event. So things like the New York City Marathon, not going to happen. Boston, not going to happen, not in 2021, and probably not in 2022 either. Reinsurers are going to need to feel comfortable with the pandemic being under control and the vaccination being where they need to be. They basically flat out said in a report, I still read those because that's my old job. They basically said in a report last week that the soonest they would consider returning to event-based insurance coverage for the United States would be 2023, which means they would underwrite in spring of 2023 for events that would occur in 2024, because that's how far in advance you have to book reinsurance coverage. So at the beginning of 2023, if they're happy with what they see, they'll agree to it. And then New York and Chicago and Boston can start selling entries to an event that they can reliably believe will occur. Does that make sense? So that's how far out you have to project things. So my racing outlook is like, yeah, there'll be lots of virtual events. There'll be lots of small events that don't require insurance coverage. And we will probably make faces at them if they have corralled starts, like the one, if you read my Nuzzle newsletter, there was one in England this week that had people like just falling over, like, what in the world are you doing right now? So we're going to see a lot of that with people questioning if this is a good idea or not throughout 2021 and 2022. 2023 will be the sign that the rest of the world is comfortable with us enough to underwrite the risk of us having events. So I do not expect New York to have another race until 2024, but I don't want to say that to New York. So the AIG 5K Fun Run, it's off. And I don't think they can say it. Sorry. I'm assuming you mean AIG, one of the 5Ks in New York. Yeah. Anything that is chipped and timed and insured. I don't know. Maybe they'll find a way to socially distance some of the smaller events. I do think that like New York City will have an elite only event. I do not think that they will have a massive corral start. They will continue to do what they did this year, trying to say that the elites can make money and we can have an Olympic team. But for us, other than small locals and virtuals, I don't think anything really is going to be happening because they can't get insurance for it. Oh yeah, no, AIG is an insurance company. You're right. I was like, maybe they sponsor something in New York now. I don't know. But thank you. Points to you for knowing that. AIG is a company that we used to reinsure when I was at Swiss Re. So familiar with AIG more than I care to be. So that's that. And that's why I think about that. So does it make sense to start building for something in the fall? Yeah, if you can be okay with running something small and local that might be canceled and be good with the idea of running it on your own and running it virtually. If you really need the support and can't set it up and can't have it in an event that is chipped and timed, you need to ask yourself if it's really worth it. So that's how I would approach it. That's the way I've always approached races and people think I'm nuts. Yeah, I've raced marathons before just to see if I could. Mapped out 26.2 miles, went and ran it because there was no race I wanted to do the weekend that I would have been trained to do it, where the weather didn't work. So I did it the next day on my own. But I started running after my dad had a heart attack and races just kind of came along later. For me, it's never been about the race. I've always been kind of a take it or leave it sort of person when it comes to the race itself. So it's harder. And I get that. And I do respect that for everybody else. Now, what am I supposed to do with that races? I get it. I do. I mean, this is where it gets didactic, right? Ask yourself what you need to get out of it. And can that still be achieved? If I run this on my own, if a tree falls in the woods and it doesn't make sound, did anything happen? If there's no one there to hear it, if I race a marathon and it doesn't end up in Athlinks, did it really happen? I say yes, but that's me. If it couldn't qualify you for Boston, does it still count? Yeah, I think so. But a lot of people disagree. So you need to ask yourself what you need to get out of it, but brace yourself. That's my prediction. 2021 is going to look a whole lot like 2020 until herd immunity has satisfactorily set in. And if a whole lot of people, I'm not trying to get into a conversation about vaccinations. I'm trying to tell you people who are underwriting these events, what they're looking for. What they're looking for is herd immunity. And the soonest we can count on herd immunity having set in would be the beginning of 2024. So in the beginning of 2023, if everything looks good and enough people have taken the vaccine, they'll be like, yay, we'll do this. You can count on 2024. If Americans start decaying the vaccine in droves, if we find out that the vaccine is ineffective, if we find out that the vaccine is flawed or that a whole bunch of people have been given bump, if we find out something goes wrong, then it will be longer. But the soonest we can expect to see things return to normal would be bets made in 2023 that 2024 would be normal for concerts and parades and sporting events and games, what have you, which is really disappointing because I don't know if y'all heard, but James Harden might be moving to Denver to play for the Nuggets, which means MK's going to start giving us about the Denver Nuggets, y'all. Whew, my God, we haven't had good sports here since Peyton Manning left. Anyway, that's all I have to say this week. A lot of words made through half an hour. Sorry you're having to look at my big red eyes, but at least you don't have to feel them because you were coached and you're loved and you're winning at life. If you don't have as much oil in your hair as I do, then I'm going to go try to wash out now. Happy New Year, everybody. Anyway, and don't forget, Slow Burn, still open. Check your email. And also, we've been doing bi-weekly Zooms. It's hard to get in touch with everyone simultaneously. So if you have not received calendar invitations to the Zoom meetings, please check your spam. Please check your junk. I've been sending a lot more emails as of late. If you did not get them, including the codes to January, please go check in there. We've been updating the site. I'm going to go check it again. Hopefully, it'll be refreshed for January, but we're also doing some work on the back end. Wix was updating the site, the editor itself, which meant I could not go in and make upgrades and updates to the site while they worked on their stuff. So waiting for all of that to end, and I apologize. So it wasn't late. I sent the email on Friday, but if you haven't checked your email, you wouldn't know that. Or if I went to spam, you still wouldn't know that. So I sincerely apologize for any inconvenience on the January codes. I'm working on getting the website up as soon as possible, but that really has kind of been out of my hands. I tried to mitigate it with an email, and now here we are. But you are loved. I apologize for this. We're going to get through it together. This is how 2021 is starting off for me, kind of like 2020 did. Let's hope we're just getting all the bad stuff out the way early doors, and we'll all improve later. Have a good one.